Amen. Good afternoon, men. Can everybody hear me clearly? Okay. This study is going to be based on the book, The Circle Maker. Has anybody read The Circle Maker book by a guy named, pastor named Mark Batterson? It's a life-changing book. Not only because it's a book that he wrote, but also because I believe it's inspired by the Holy Spirit and God's Word. So, if you've not had an opportunity to get this book and read it, actually, Ron's wife gave it to my wife when they served on team at the Kokomo Great Banquet, and I latched onto it, and I can't put it down. So we're going to start and see if I can accomplish what I hope that the Lord has for us. It says, young children danced in the downpour like it was the first rain that they'd ever seen. And it was. Parents threw back their heads, opened their mouths, and caught raindrops like they were libations. And they were. When it hasn't rained in over a year, raindrops are like diamonds falling from the sky. It would forever be remembered as the day thunderclaps applauded the Almighty, the day puddle jumping became an act of praise, the day the legend of the Circle Maker was born. It was the first century B.C., and a devastating drought threatened to destroy a generation, the generation before Jesus. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were such a distant memory that they seemed like a false memory. And God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an eccentric sage, who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honi. Look to somebody and say, Honi. Now, back to you, Pastor Chris. Where are you at? Because he does that to us all the time. And you know what? It kind of loosens it up a little bit. So I wanted to do that. And even the people could no longer hear God. He believed that God could hear them. When rain is plentiful, it is an afterthought. During a drought, it is the only thought. And Honi was their only hope. Famous for his ability to pray for rain, it was on this day, the day that Honi would earn his moniker. With a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical, 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. After what seemed like hours that had only been seconds, Honi stood inside the circle he had drawn. And he dropped to his knees and raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, Honi called down rain. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. The word sent a shudder down the spines of all who were sitting within earshot that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone, not a hint of doubt. This prayer didn't originate in the vocal cords. The words flowed from the depths of his soul. His prayer was resolute, yet humble, confident, yet meek, expectant, yet unassuming. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to earth, and audible gasps swept across the thousands of congregants who had circled Honi. Every head turned towards heaven as the first raindrop parachuted from the sky. But Honi's head remained bowed. The people rejoiced over each drop, but Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling within the circle, Honi lifted his voice over the sounds of the celebration. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that would fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned into a torrential downpour. The eyewitnesses had said no rain drop was smaller than an egg in size. It rained so heavily and so steadily that people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash. To escape the flash flood. Honi stayed and he prayed inside that circle. Once more he refined his bold request. Not for such rain have I prayed, but rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. Then, like a well-proportioned sun shower on a hot and humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they just didn't soak skin. They soaked the spirit with faith. It had been difficult to believe the day before rain, but impossible not to believe the day of the rain. Scripture calls this coming boldly upon the throne of grace in our time of need, Hebrews 4:16. The prayer that saved a generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol, and the legend of Honi the Circle Maker stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. Did you get that? A single prayer can change the course of history. God is still looking for circle makers, men. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by our biggest dreams or our boldest prayers. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they won't require divine intervention. God is for us. If we don't believe that, then we'll pray small, timid prayers. If we do believe that, then we'll pray bold, audacious prayers. And one way or another, our prayers will change the trajectory of our lives and turn us into totally different people. Prayers are prophecies. They are the best predictors of our spiritual future. Who we become is determined by how we pray. Ultimately, the transcript of our prayers becomes the transcript of our lives. Drawing prayer circles isn't some magic trick to get what we want from God. And our wish is not His command. His command better be our wish. If not, we'll be walking in circles. Have you ever felt underqualified and overwhelmed? If so, that is when God has us right where He wants us. That is how we learn to live in raw dependence on Him, and raw dependence is from which God performs His greatest miracles. Jesus says that all things are possible with God, Matthew 19:26. If we draw prayer circles, God will answer our prayers somehow, some way, and sometime. And it may not be in our time or our way, but He will answer our prayers. Sometimes a no answer is a delayed answer. Boy, isn't that a bummer. You know, we want what we want, and we want it right now. In the no answered prayers, patience is bliss, because God sees the whole picture and His will for us. What does it mean to pray through? In 1925, Elizabeth J. Dabney and her husband went to work for a mission in the city of brotherly love. But there wasn't much love there. It was a hellhole. Her husband was called to preach, and she was called to pray. She just didn't pray. She prayed through. What is praying through? It's praying long, boring prayers. Crazy prayers. Prayers only God can answer. Praying for things that seem impossible, that go beyond our comprehension. Praying because we are convinced that God hears our prayers, and He does. Dreaming big and praying hard. Praying to the point that we don't know what to pray. Then the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. Thinking long and praying different. Praying the impossible, then we will know when God answers our prayers. Prayer doesn't just change circumstances. It changes us. It helps us see with spiritual eyes, to see the full picture. It enables us to see beyond our circumstances, beyond ourselves, and beyond the present. And a prayer is a faith builder. That is praying. That is what praying through is through. Boldly praying without ceasing and not giving up. Mother Dabney prayed. She said, "Lord, if you will bless my husband in the place you sent him to establish your name, if you will break the bonds and destroy the middle wall of partition, if you will give him a church and congregation that is a credit to your people and all of Christianity, I will walk with you for 3 years in prayer, both day and night. I will meet you every morning at 9 o'clock sharp. You will never have to wait for me. I will be there to greet you. I will stay there all day. I will devote all of my time to you. Furthermore, if you will listen to the voice of my supplication and break through in that wicked neighborhood and bless my husband, I will fast 72 hours each week for 2 years. While I am going through the fast, I will not go home to sleep in my bed. I will stay in the church. And if I get sleepy, I will rest on newspapers and carpet." Wow. What a prayer covenant and what a commitment to the Lord. As soon as she made that prayer covenant, it was like a cloudburst. God's glory fell from heaven like raindrops that drenched Honey on the day he drew his circle in the sand. Every day she met the Lord with a "Good morning, Lord," and she lived up to her covenant with the Lord. Soon the mission was so small to accommodate the people, she prayed for a bigger place, and God delivered. Some criticized her, as they did Honey, but she stuck to her promise to God, and the more she prayed through, the more God came through. Mother Dabney's prayer legacy would be long forgotten if it weren't for one headline. The Pentecostal Evangel published her testimony under the title, "What It Means to Pray Through." The one article sparked a prayer movement all around the world. Mother Dabney received over 3 million letters from people who wanted to know how to pray through. All of us need to search for God in Scripture and prayer, like Mother Dabney did. We may just change the course of history. Circle makers are history makers. I believe that there is enough uncertainties in our community and in our world for us to start drawing prayer circles on a consistent basis. I can tell you that this reading, The Circle Maker, has changed my prayer life 100-fold, and it has changed me. The more time I spend with God in prayer, the more time I want to spend in prayer with God. I will never look at a circle in the same way that I used to. It's a reminder of me to pray through and not give up. God spoke this to me, men, before he asked me to speak to you. And it has been very convicting, because I'm guilty also. What if, when our elected officials on both sides of the aisle make ungodly, unscriptural decisions, if we circle them in prayer instead of criticizing them? What if, when we see same-sex marriages, we circle them in prayer instead of condemning them? And what if, when we see tragedies and natural disasters, we circle them in prayer instead of just feeling bad for them? What if we felt compassion for the homeless and the unemployed and circled them in prayer instead of condemning and prejudging them for being lazy? What if, when one of our elected officials falls from grace, we circle them in prayer instead of chuckling and saying something spiritual like, be sure your sins will find you out. What if, when one of our brothers falls from grace, we circle them in prayer instead of saying, I suspected that all along? And what if, when we are hurt and we are mad and we are upset and we are falsely accused, we turn those emotions into prayers instead of self-pity? What if, when we fall from grace and make dumb decisions, we circle ourselves in prayer instead of self-condemning? What if? There are a lot of what ifs. Do we really believe that God can and will answer prayers and change the course of history and save our downward spiraling nation? Do we believe that? I believe it. And I'm asking you guys to start circling in prayer. Honey and Mother Dabney believed it in prayer. Do we really believe it? Now I want to get personal. Have you ever had a broken relationship? And I think that probably everybody in this room has had a broken relationship with somebody. And my wife and I experienced a broken relationship with her brother Charlie. And I do have permission to tell this story. And it went on for 2 years. And lack of communications was the reason for it. And I know that Mark prayed for Charlie, and his wife Marty prayed, and Barb and I prayed. But I really, after reading this book, I got serious about praying. And I began to circle Charlie in prayer. And you know what? I don't take all the credit, because you know what? I know that God, that we plant and we water and God gives an increase. And that's where the glory goes. And I know that there are others prayed. His mother prayed for him and others prayed for him. And Charlie is a highway patrolman in right outside of Gainesville, Florida. Great man. But he wasn't saved. He had all of the worldly things that the world has to offer, from the materialism to job, to his job. He's very, very sharp and intelligent on his corporal, sergeant, and lieutenant, and captain testing. He was number one in the state of Florida except one time, and he was number two. And so we began to circle Charlie in prayer. And he, like me, has a rotator cuff problem, and he had surgery. And God got him alone at home. And he began to watch Christian TV, and he came across a man by the name of Robert Morris. And I don't know if you've heard of Robert Morris. I personally had not. But he began to preach, and Charlie began to listen. And he ordered some tapes, and he got some material. And through a three-week process, and all of us that go to the banquet know that if you get the white noise out of your life, God can talk to you. And God talked to him. And he gave his heart to Christ. And so, in that, their communications began to open up and restoration began. And I'm happy to say that things are going well down there. To give you an idea of what God can do if we begin to pray about it, Charlie got saved. God led him to a really on-fire church, and he's gotten involved in the church. And it just so happened that when we were in Florida, from the time we moved from one resort to the next resort, the Sunday in the middle, he was being baptized. And so we were able to go there and be a part of the baptism. Now, you just think that's happenstance. I don't think that's happenstance. And then secondly, two of his daughters came to the baptism, and one of his brothers came to the baptism. And his one brother, I watched him from the time that we met, and I could just watch his countenance change to a peaceful change. And so what transpired in that, after the next week, he goes to another church and commits his life to Christ. And I asked him, I said, did you make a personal confession of faith? And he said, yes. He said, I did. Whenever they were calling for prayer, I asked the Lord to save me. And that's not the end of the story. When Charlie was taking his six-year-old grandson to church, the grandkids got to watch the baptism. He got to talking about baptism and being saved, and through a process, Aiden said he wanted to accept the Lord. And so he accepted the Lord. He called the house where we were, Charlie's house, and he put him on speakerphone. And Charlie's wife, Susie, and Barb and I got to listen to Charlie lead him to the Lord. And what an experience. And we're so thankful. Charlie, if you guys know my wife, Barb, Charlie has basically the same kind of personality that she has. She never met a stranger, and Charlie never met a stranger. God's going to do a work in him, and he's doing a work in him. He's on fire. He's going to work and finding out. Now, this is a shame. He's finding out that there are other troopers right there that were Christians, and he didn't know it. And so they're beginning to share. He's gotten involved in a small group, and we got to go and be a part of that. And so things are going well. And so I would appreciate if you would. He confessed to me that the reason that he had not gotten saved and these broken relationships transpired was pride. Okay? And you know what, men? We all know about pride. And I'm a retired police officer, and I know about police officers' pride, too, because I had some of it, and I deal with it to this day. So anyway, what we want to pray for Charlie is that he don't become a prideful Christian, because prideful Christians don't accomplish what the Lord wants in their lives. Okay. Prayer does turn the course of history. We prayed through and God came through. I am convinced that God's word and prayer will take you and me to where we are going. And that is our destiny. See, I had a insignificant moment of prayer, and I think that at a gas station. I'm going down South Washington Street, and I look up at Kroger's, and everybody that buys gasolines knows that Kroger's are the last ones to change the price on their gas. So the cars are all lining up, and so I know that the prices are going up. So I jump in line, and I'm sitting there, and there's a guy in front of me sitting there talking on the phone, and I'm in a hurry. And so I get to going, you ever do that? What is this guy thinking? I mean, there's cars every place, and we're all in a hurry to get through. He's on the phone. And God reminded me of the circle maker. And he said, why don't you just circle him in prayer? So I started circling him in prayer, and I didn't even know what to pray for except that he would just move on. But anyway, he's on the phone. He gets out of the car, and he does this. He walks to the gas pump. Now, have you ever tried to talk on the phone and get your credit card out? It doesn't work very well. And all of a sudden, he walks back to me, and he says, there's another line if you'd like to go over there. And I said, that's okay. I put my spiritual face on and said, that's okay. I'll just wait. Okay. So I just waited there patiently, and all of a sudden, he starts filling his car up, and he's got a big tank, and it's just on and on. I'm sitting there. And then, all of a sudden, he walks over into the other lane and stops traffic. And he motions this girl to come back and backs in to the next pump. And he takes the gas thing out of his car and he sticks it in her car. And she has a big tank also. And then after that, he pulls out a gas can. And I am... Oh, Lord. But I did circle him in prayer. And so then after that, she walks over to me, and I'm standing there waiting patiently, or impatiently. And she said, "Would you like to use my number to save some money on your gasoline?" I said, "Oh, that's okay, because, you know, it's only, what, we think it's a dime?" I said, "Oh, that's okay." She says, "It's 30 cents a gallon." And I said, "Yes, I would like to use your number." Now, some people may think that is just my lucky day, but I think it's because I circled him in prayer. Oh, let's see. Back to reality. We all need to be circle makers, men. Our children and our grandchildren need for us to be circle makers, circling them in prayer. I get very concerned about my grandchildren and what they'll be facing in the next few years. I try to circle them daily, that they will be lovers of God and their fellow man, that they will make a difference for God in their lives, and that God will protect them from the evil that so easily besets each of us. I circle them that they won't make the same mistakes in life that I have made, and that they won't put God on hold like I did until I was 37 years old. God is looking for circle makers. Circle makers have changed the course of history in the past, and can change the course of history in the future. Drawing prayer circles often looks foolish, but that's faith. Noah looked foolish building a boat in the middle of the desert. The Israelites' armed army looked foolish marching around Jericho, blowing their trumpets. A shepherd boy looked foolish charging a giant with a slingshot. The Magi looked foolish tracking a star to Timbuktu. And Peter looked foolish getting out of the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus looked foolish wearing a crown of thorns. But the results speak for themselves. Noah was saved from the flood. The walls came tumbling down at Jericho. And David defeated Goliath. The Magi discovered the Messiah. Peter walked on the water, and Jesus was crowned King of Kings. The bigger the circle we draw, the more foolish we will feel. But if we are not willing to step out of the boat, we'll never walk on water. And if we are not willing to circle a city, the walls will not fall down. And if we are not willing to follow the star, we'll miss out on the greatest adventure of our life, knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Circle makers are risk takers. Are we willing to be risk takers and change the course of history? I sure hope so. Are we willing to go into our prayer closet and come boldly upon the throne of grace, praying and believing and seeking and finding God? How big is our God? Our prayer depends on how big our God is. And if God knows no limits, so should our prayers. It reminds me of a man who was sizing up God. "How long is a million years?" the man asked. God said, "A million years is like a second." Then the man asked, "How much is $1 million to you?" And God said, $1 million is like a penny." The man smiled and said, "Can you spare a penny?" And God smiled back. He said, "Sure, just wait a second." With God, there is no big or no small, easy or difficult, possible or impossible. Our prayers will shape the destiny of our family and our community for generations to come. And if we are willing to step into our prayer closet and intercede for our family and friends, God will answer our prayers. Sometime, and some way, and His way. And even maybe, after we're long gone from this earth. Because, see, He never forgets our prayers when we give them to Him. So don't lose heart, and don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Keep circling. We have not, because we ask not. Now, I have one more story, really quickly. It's not a story, it's a prayer request. When we were in Florida, Brother Max Whittock was with us, and he is very, very sick. He spent 3 days in Palm Beach Hospital, He spent a day in a, or 8 hours in an emergency room. He is in Tipton Hospital now. They can't find out what's wrong with him. And he has some kind of intestinal thing going on. And they've done all kinds of tests. And as of me coming here, they still have not located what's wrong with him. So if you would circle Max in prayer, I would appreciate it. And I know that his family would appreciate it. He's a warrior for the Lord, and we need to get him back in service. He is in such excruciating pain that they have given him the most pain medication they can give him, and it only lasts about an hour and a half, and he can only have it every 2 hours. So he has, and he said, I never get below a 6 or a 7. So you know it's serious. So keep him in prayer if you would. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time of sharing. And God, we pray, Lord, that we will all become circle makers, that we'll all learn to pray through, and we'll pray those crazy prayers, Lord, and those prayers that don't even sometimes make sense to us, God, and because we know that you hear our prayers, and God, we know that you will answer our prayers if we continue to seek you. And God, we give you praise for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.